Please join me in the call to worship and you're the back of your bulletin. What does the Lord require of you? What does God command of us? Our first hymn is number 20.
Let's stand to sing Come and See, number 20 in the hymnal, the worship book. And the words, this song invites us to worship with the words, Come and See, Follow Me, Christe, Christ have mercy, Kyrie, sorry, wrong way around. Christe, Christ we adore thee, and Kyrie, Christ have mercy, and Alleluia. Feel free to choose this part you want in the second part.
I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. It feels like spring. I suspect it isn't, but it's a beautiful day. I didn't get any names of anyone to introduce. Is there anybody who would like to be introduced or introduce somebody else? Welcome. Anybody else? Okay. If the kids would like to come up front.
Good morning. How are you today? That's good. This morning, the grown-ups, when they're in church, are going to be talking about rules. You guys all go to school, right? What's the favorite thing of teachers? I gave you a hint. Rules, right? When you go to school, are there all kinds of rules? I bet you some of you have classrooms and there's rules on the wall. No, there's no rules on the wall? Well, there should be. At our school, there's all kinds of rules about the playground. So kids are not allowed to pick up snow and make it into a ball and throw it. And kids are not allowed to build a snow fort higher than their knee. And kids are not allowed. There's a lot of not alloweds in rules, isn't there? Yeah, kind of makes them not fun. Yeah. When Jesus was with us, he realized that all those rules with the don'ts are no fun. So he just gave us, how many rules can you see? Two rules, and they're not don'ts, they're do's. So the first rule is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. That's rule number one. And the other rule is to love yourself and your neighbor. Two rules. I wish all teachers knew this. I kind of do. In my classroom, we only have two rules. The first rule is, Frau White's the queen. And the second rule is, be kind to your friends. If we follow those two rules, not mine, but God's, love God and love yourself and your neighbor, do you think all the other rules just sort of fall into place? Yeah. So the rest of our lives is just trying to figure out how to follow two rules. And the rules, the beautiful thing about these rules are do rules. What do we do? What do we get to do to follow those beautiful rules? So ask your moms and dads when they come home from church today what we're supposed to do, because Pastor Gary is going to be helping them figure that out. Okay, let's bow for prayer. Dear Father, help us to love you with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, go love God and your friends.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. If you would look in your bulletins, please. We have several announcements. Our church family, we have many people either at home or in personal care homes or other places in need of our prayer. We have prayer requests from several people also. Gary Hebert will be going for surgery on February 5th. Ken Arlt is continuing with his cancer treatments. Hildy Weens has now begun her chemotherapy treatments. Kim Hoban is recovering at home and with us. Waldemar Tom's daughter, Glenda Arnault, is back in the hospital. It says in at home, but she went back into the hospital. And Nata Klein and her family would like to thank everyone involved in Henry's funeral. Broadening out a little bit, what's happening at NKMC, the Kids Club is having their pancake breakfast this Saturday. So it's a wonderful event. And they're also asking later on in the bulletin for help, volunteers for coming out on Monday nights. Ingrid and I did that last Monday night, and it was a lot of fun. What a great group of kids. Number eight, there's a discussion, Sunday school discussion in the fellowship room next Sunday, talking about what's happening with our conference structure. Gary would like to extend an invite to everyone to come to that. As well, the coming up following week, an Ash Wednesday service on February 10th. Lunch plans for everybody. Save the date, February 14th, Valentine's Day. What a better place to bring your Valentine than to forced breakfast or lunch. And Westgate's also doing a fruit and cheese fundraiser. So there's lots of things going on. I'd like to give this opportunity. Is there anybody who would like to share anything? Pastor Gary will bring up the microphone.
I'm very sorry that I missed some people to thank for the thank the ushers and the ladies at the table welcoming the guests at Henry's funeral. Henry thought not many people would come, so he wanted to have the funeral at our apartment. The coffin could stay in the hallway. So a heartfelt thank you to all of you who proved him wrong and helped our family through the days of sorrow. Thank you very much.
Leonora Weeb, I would just like to share with you about Dennis Neufeld, our nephew, who had a heart transplant. He is awaiting more surgery as the pericardium, that's the sac in which the heart is not allowing his heart to expand and to pump the necessary oxygen through the body. Consequently, he has a lot of fluid retention. They don't know what's going to happen or what will have to be done, whether they take the whole cardiac sac away or just part of it. But some of the sac apparently is adhering to the heart as well. So I would appreciate prayer for Dennis. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. I thought I would share too. My nephew's son, Harley, is the one that I'm collecting tabs for. He has been approved for surgery in Montreal this spring. He has cerebral palsy. I think I've mentioned that before. And the doctors will be doing surgery to fix his hips so that as he grows, he won't be in pain, especially when he's sitting. And also, hopefully he'll be able to help him walk better too. And thanks again for collecting the tabs. It's such a thrill to give this big bag of tabs to my nephew and his wife. They're just so happy to know that so many people are thinking of them. And it's not so much the money, but just knowing that there's this big community around. It's really, really good. If you would join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather in your name. We have many members of our congregation who are in need of comfort, people who are sick, bereaved, tired, or otherwise struggling. Please be with them. The rest of us need your comfort as well. We may look like we have no problems, but we do. We are all struggling with something. It just may not be obvious. Please be with us too. Please be with the refugees we are sponsoring. Please give them patience and keep them safe. You've told us that it's important to love our neighbors as ourselves. We know that it's good for us and good for the ones that are loved. It helps us to grow as people of your church. We try, but sometimes we don't do this as much as we should. Open our hearts so that we can learn what loving our neighbors can mean. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's now time for the offering. First scripture reading is from Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 18. When you harvest your land, don't harvest right up to the edges of your field or gather the gleanings from the harvest. Don't strip your vineyard bare or go back and pick up the fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am God, your God. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't deceive anyone. Don't swear falsely using my name, violating the name of your God. I am God. Don't exploit your friend or rob him. Don't hold back the wages of a hired hand overnight. Don't curse the deaf. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Fear your God. I am God. Don't pervert justice. Don't show favoritism to either the poor or the great. Judge on the basis of what is right. Don't spread gossip and rumors. Don't just stand by when your neighbor's life is in danger. I am God. Don't secretly hate your neighbor. If you have something against him, get it out in the open. Otherwise, you are an accomplice in his guilt. Don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God. Second reading is from Mark 12, 28 to 31. One of the religion scholars came up, hearing the lively exchanges of question and answer, and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers, he put in his question, "Which is the most important of all the commandments?" Jesus said, "The first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these."
You know, we're sitting just a little too comfortably. Let's stand and we'll pray together, okay? Well, God, it's us, your children down here at North Kildonan and Mennonite Church. We sure appreciate all that you've done for us and the way you walk with us each day and for the people that you surround us with. We hear you calling us to love you, and we want to love each other, but once in a while we need a little help. So be with us as we read through this passage and we understand what you're calling us to do. Amen. Before you sit down, just turn around and say hi to someone. You can shake hands if you like. I just love that holy hum. It's wonderful. Somehow or other, it seems inappropriate to talk about loving each other when we're sitting like this. So. Don't worry, we won't make you get up and dance. Well, maybe a little bit. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about what Jesus called the most important commandment, or the first part of it. As we've already heard, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might. And we looked at it against the story in Luke chapter 7, where this prostitute comes in and washes Jesus' feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, kisses them, and pours perfume on them. This is a seriously awkward story. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, for those of us who don't really watch romance movies well, this is going to the fridge time to see what's there. But in the story, what we learned was that the reason the woman showed her love toward Jesus is because she had experienced love. It calls it forgiveness in the text. Somewhere along the way, like, she knew she was social garbage. That's how everybody treated her, and that's how she treated herself. I love the way that Ingrid says the second part of it is love yourself and love your neighbor also. And Jesus, somewhere along the way, came along and showed her respect and dignity and caring and understanding and gave her hope. That's love. That's love. And so she responded by loving. And Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee, people who have experienced God's love, love back. What is he saying to Simon? You didn't need any love? No. You didn't recognize it. And you weren't open to God's love. And so to love God as we, to love God with everything we've got is an invitation. It's an invitation to come and experience God's love. Because once we have, the rest happens. Once we've experienced God's love, like this woman, we pour it back in praise and appreciation to God for all that he's done. Just how it happens. So I love that. The one of the two rules is an invitation. Isn't that great? The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Now we often go to Luke 10, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan. We'll come back to that in a little while. But when we take a look at the Leviticus passage, it's all there. It's really cool. So you'll all remember what James read. Who's our neighbor? In the text, who is our neighbor? The poor, the blind, the lame, the worker. And these were people who at the end of the day got paid, and then they went down to the store, bought food, went home, fed their families. So, foreigners and everybody else. Basically, everybody you bump into. He says, this is who your neighbor is, and it's very significant. Because in their day, as in ours, there are people who are not considered very important. They're kind of those people, right? Some of you coming in from another country may have felt that. You came here and sometimes we were called DPs. And we felt like we weren't very important. Well, it's those people. And he goes on to explain what love is. Did you hear the list of things? First one was, don't harvest all your grapes. So what they're saying is, be generous. So the people with vineyards would have been the wealthy people, and they go along and you just leave some because the other people are coming through later on and they need some food too. And that's how you show generosity. It was honesty. Don't lie. You know, quit pulling each other's leg. Be honest and upfront with things. Be kind. Don't trip the blind people and mess with other people who have struggles. Be just. And this is really interesting because it says, treat the poor and the wealthy justly. I love that. We're all in that one together. Be compassionate. Don't gossip. Don't talk behind each other's back. Don't hold grudges. Don't threaten each other. Just don't. That's love. All of that put together is love. So what do? We treat people with love. Everyone that we encounter. Like, now we'll go back to the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. The Good Samaritan story is wonderful. It's got this one of Jesus' reversals. He always twists things. When you hear Jesus telling you to love your neighbor, you expect him to say, reach down and help the people. But in this story, it's reversed. The Samaritan would have been one of those other people, right? And he was reaching up, as it were. I just love the twist on that. So the point of the story is, whoever you run across who needs help is your neighbor. And helping them is loving them. Here. Simple. And when you watch Jesus' life, that's what he did. So who were Jesus' neighbors? Well, let's see. Women, children, poor, lepers, foreigners, prostitutes, tax collectors. He tried to invite the Pharisees to be his friends, but just like in the story in Luke chapter 7, they didn't think they needed friends. We're fine. Don't need you. Okay, your call. Jesus was a neighbor to everyone he bumped into. How do we translate that? So what does that mean for us? What is it? It's pretty straightforward, right? To show love to people means to dismantle all the walls that we build around us. To keep us away from people. The walls that our society says are okay and that, let's be honest here, even within the church we build a few walls, don't we? Yeah, the answer is yes, in case you're wondering. To take all those walls down. And so we take down the walls of discrimination by age and by gender and by nationality and by language. And by IQ, and by socioeconomic strata, and by sexual orientation, and by religion, and by mental health, and any other walls that we can think of. We take them all down. And guess what we find? Neighbors. I was thinking I should wear a pullover with a zipper and, you know, just Mr. Rogers. Apparently some of you grew up without TV too. So what we do is we take these walls down. And I grew up thinking if I take a wall down, I have to agree with the person on the other side. No, you don't. All you have to do is love them. You don't have to agree with them. And so we take the wall down and we bump into people that are our neighbors. And we say, hi, neighbor. And we respond to them with dignity and respect and understanding and compassion and caring. And we pass on hope and offer friendship. We love them. Pretty good, hey? Go home and enjoy lunch. It's too easy to stop there. So what we're going to do is this, and there's going to be a little participation today, so just get ready. What we want to do this morning is we want to take a microcosm, a little chunk of our neighbors. You know which chunk that is? You. We're going to talk about being neighbors in the church. You good with that? Great. Thank you. And so James has a microphone, and somebody on up on the stage has a microphone. And we're gonna, a few times we'll ask questions. We won't surprise you or scare you, but we're gonna ask questions. Okay. How do we get to know our neighbors in the church? I should probably come down a few steps here if I'm gonna talk with you like this. How do we get to know our neighbors in the church? Well, first of all, we have to understand, our faith is not about me and Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the center of our faith, but God has given us some amazing gifts, and one of them is community. God has invited us to be a part of community. This is how we best understand God. This is how we experience God's love often. This is how we give back to God. This is where we learn and grow and mature and all that kind of stuff. Acts chapter 2. If you're reading through this, the last, I think it's 5 or 6 verses, is a picture of the early church. And they're getting together and they're having a great time. They eat together. Verse Mennonites, love food. Our love language is food, right? They ate together, and they studied the Bible together, and they prayed together, and they had communion together, and they shared with each other. Why? Because they didn't know what else to do? No, because our faith is lived out in community. Okay? So, we, being part of the community is important. Now, when I first came to this church, I'm almost finished saying that. It's getting to be 2 years, and it's kind of getting old. I understand that. But one more. Give me one more here. When I first came here, I was told what we want to do here at this church is to worship God and to love each other. I want to tack on and care for the world. But, and it's been true. You come to worship, and you're gracious, and you participate, and you're appreciative, and you do love each other. And as that list of needs in the bulletin grows about people who have struggles, I see that happening. And I see as you talk to each other and the cards in the mailbox and so forth, you do love each other. But we can always learn, right? Okay. So what are some practical ways in which we can get to know each other? I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to give me some more ideas. I'm going to start you off with a few. Here's a real simple. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, in this church, we come, we visit with friends in the foyer, we sit down, we see our relatives. It's wonderful. It really is. But do you know, if I was a betting person, I would bet that there's at least one person that people don't know your name. Let me try this in English. For most of you, there's probably one person here you don't know their name. Hey, we're only this big. So how do we get to know each other? Here's a couple of ideas. We don't want to take away from visiting your friends and your relatives. Come 10 minutes early. Set the alarm clock. Just come and visit people you don't know. Here's another one. This is a little bit bordering on heretical, but sit somewhere else. Your groove will be waiting for you next week. Sit somewhere else. So, you take a look around. Oh, I was told this used to be the men's side, this used to be the women's side. Somebody told me not so long ago, politically, this side's more conservative than the side. This side's more liberal. Usually this side's fuller, and it made total sense, because when they were allowed to sit together, those men were across the aisle. Sit somewhere else. Share a hymn book with someone you don't usually share a hymn book with. And you visit with them. There's another idea that you're going to hear more about as time comes along. After this, I'm going to ask you, so be ready. We've come up with an idea. We don't have a name for it yet, so I'll just call it adoption. We're going to divide the church into two. People my age and older are old, and if you're younger than me, you're young. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite us, you old people, to adopt one or two younger people. We're going to say, find a person or two you don't know and start looking for them every Sunday. When you see them, greet them by name and say, how are you? And then let it grow. So if they're a young parent and they say, oh, I didn't sleep last night, my kids were sick, what do you ask the next Sunday? How are the kids? It's not rocket science. We have some young adults who are in school. How's school? And then listen, you gotta do that part too. So just allow it to grow. So we're gonna come back at you and we're gonna kind of formalize it a little bit. But there's another way we want to invite us to get to know each other. Because we really do love each other, you know? Okay, James, and balcony person who has the microphone. And I'm counting on the balcony because I know not everybody can see you, so you're free to say things. What do you have some ideas about how we can get to know each other? Elizabeth.
Hi, my name's Elizabeth. One of the ways that I have really felt that I get to know people is by volunteering. There's so many opportunities in the church, and you get to meet a wide variety of people. When I do the worship leading, I get to shake everybody's hand after the service, and that's when I get to meet people that I wouldn't necessarily meet when I volunteer with the children or the youth. And then when I volunteer with the children and the youth, I get to meet them and their families as well. So I think volunteering.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Other ideas? Don.
Join the choir. If you can't sing, Carol's okay with that. She invited me after all.
Sometimes it's a long ride back to Steinbeck. Other ideas? Linda. And then we'll be looking to the balcony.
Just talk to people like it's come in a little bit earlier, like you said, and I just always find someone in the foyer who wants to chat, and I'm willing to chat with them, and it really is a great way to get to know people and also drive people to church who need a ride.
Excellent. You can also put up your hand. Ingrid.
Well, in a few weeks, there will be a trivia night. That would be a perfect opportunity for people to come and get to know all kinds of interesting facts and about each other as well. A trivia night as a get-together for our refugee group. So that's in the works.
Okay. Wonderful. I have another question a little bit, so if you have other things, just hang on. Oh, there's one more. Lil.
Hi, it's Lil Hominyak calling. Hello. One of the things that I've noticed over the years, and especially since we were away for about 5 years from being at the church, our hearts were always here, but is praying for each other. We had so many people that they may not have come out, but they prayed. And very faithful and kind friends, and phone calls were just amazing, especially when you're in a place where you don't call, you can't, or you can't call out, but people continue to call in. So, yeah. Prayer and phone calls.
Thanks. And it's interesting when you're praying for someone, there's a name in the bulletin, you pray for them, you find yourself looking for them next Sunday. Look a face to that. Okay. Yes.
About a year ago, I started greeting, and I've found a great place to meet people. Right. I don't always remember all the people that I shake hands with, but I try to make an effort of remembering at least one or two every time I do it, so I'm slowly learning.
That's great. And not only we don't always remember names, at least some of us don't, but we remember the face and the smile and perhaps a word or two. Excellent. All right. This one could go viral, but we're going to hold it. So, once we get to know people, it's just like God. We can't love God until we know God. It's relationship-based. We know God and experience God's love, then we can start loving Him. Ah, so we get to know each other. The next question is, how do we love each other? What do we do? Okay, I'm going to ask you this in a moment. I'm just going to throw out a few ideas, because if I don't, you'll throw them out, and then it'll be your ideas. So the first one is, you see all these names in the bulletin, and you pray for them. I know you do. Give them a note. You can get cards at dollar store for right around a dollar for a box. Right? Piece of paper, fold it in half, you've got a card. Put a note in there. It is amazing how much of an impact that makes on people's lives, especially if it's been dragging on. People care. Random acts of kindness. Just little things. Somebody slips into your pew a little late. Give them your hymn book and open another one, or share it with them. You go out to dust the snow off your car after a service, and the car beside you is covered with snow. Why not? Don't scratch the paint, but, you know, sweep it off. There are a lot of little things that we can do, and people don't have to even notice it, but you come to a church and little things happen. It makes you smile because you know you're home. You belong when things like that happen. If you take a look at the back side of the calendar, when you get it, and it's in your mailbox today, you'll find people's birthdays and anniversaries. Church we were at in Saskatoon, there was a gentleman, he'd been retired for a while, and he decided one year, I'm phoning everybody on their birthday. Didn't know them, but thought, that's something I can do. And so he started phoning people, and I would hear the other end of it. People would come and say, Elmer phoned me for my birthday. It was so nice. I didn't even know he knew me. He actually didn't. But it was so nice. It warmed their hearts, and it made him feel like he was doing something good. So, what are ways in which you can show love to the people to your neighbors here? Ideas. You people are so good at this. I thought you'd be all having your hands sticking up. There's one. Sarah.
Randomly invite people for a luncheon.
There you go. Again, back to our love language. Invite people over for lunch. When we first got here, pretty much every Sunday, someone was inviting us over, and we got to know you, and it just felt good. It felt like you didn't mind that we were here. Other ideas? Things you can do, ways you can do special things for people.
Come and sing when there are funerals. We have the mission choir that sings for the funerals. But it is so important, at least they tell me, it's so important to them that people care enough to come and give that service to them. So even though you're not in the mission choir, if you know that there's a funeral and you know that the mission choir is singing, then just come. You know, we sing easy songs, but that's something that really speaks to the people.
Really, really true. I mean, I listen to the families and they say, well, there might not be a choir. Everybody's so busy. And then the people come. Or even, as Nita said earlier, even coming to the funeral as a sign of respect and encouragement and support. How important is that? Wonderful. So singing in the choir is an act of love. How do you like that? Other, Linda.
I know a lot of people do this a lot more than I do, but drop off a meal, drop off some baking for families who are going through tough times. There might be someone in the house who can still do the cooking, but I think just knowing that someone else thinks enough about, or think not enough about you as they like just, you're in their mind and in their heart, and then you just drop off a little something to let them know.
Well, then, is there somebody else? There's a hand back there.
I fully agree with that, because I sometimes would come home from the Betania. I was alone down. There was an adorable meal hanging. Our lady came and visited me so often. She kind of carried me almost. I would like to thank for that.
Okay. Thanks, Nita. Did you hear that? She would come back. Nita went for the last almost a year and a half to visit her husband every day at Bethania, and she'd get home late, and sometimes there'd be a meal hanging on the door. And, yeah, to know that people care, calling. There was one I was thinking about regarding the back row in the balcony. When you have young adults, and especially the ones not at home, those are, you know, spoiled in their own way, but you bring a care package. It doesn't terribly expensive. Go to a dollar store and put one together. Put together a care package for all the young adults and come along and hand them out or put their name on them at the back. And if you ask Tim or Chris or any of our young adults, they'll be able to tell you the names. And that goes a long way. Wow, it's exam time and I have chocolate. This is good. Other ideas? Were you putting up your hand, John? Okay. Being observant is another love language. Folks from above are very quiet now. When you get to know people, the needs just present themselves. Those of us who have children, we don't have to ask what they need to make them happy. We know. They need an arm around the shoulder. They need an encouragement. They need us to slip them a 20 or whatever goes up as they get older. They need some privacy. We know what they need because we know them. And so it is as we get to know each other. We begin to know what the other person needs. And sometimes it is a hug. And sometimes if you look at somebody and you know what they need is just to be left alone for a while. And sometimes that's a huge gift. Sometimes just a pat on the shoulder and that's all that they need. And you know that because you know them, because you're neighbors and you've taken time to get to know them. Well, we could continue on. There are other things we could talk about as the microcosm of neighbors here. What about when new neighbors show up? What about when there are people who come to the church who come very seldom or who haven't been here before or are looking for a church home? How do we make them feel like they're neighbors, that they belong? Lots of things. Go and talk to them. Just novel concept here. You see someone, you go up to them. Hi, I'm Gary. I'm sorry, I don't have any memory. What is your name again? I have a terrible memory, and that serves me well in cases like that. Or you say, hey, come in and sit on the pew and sit with them. About 2 months ago, we had some guests here. There was a lady with two grandchildren, and she came in and she sat on the second pew right there. And I wasn't preaching or anything, and I sat on this pew right here. And I had talked to her ahead of time, found out her name, where she was from. And when we were introducing guests, I stood up and introduced her, and she stood up. You know, I'll bet you it was halfway through the afternoon when it finally dawned on me. I let her sit by herself. What was the matter with me? You sometimes, especially in a new church, to sit beside someone, to feed them the lines that they need. Sharing time is when you have something on your heart. This is what we do here. This is what we do there. Three hymn books in front of you. Did you notice that? We all instinctively know which one. New people don't. You pull out the hymn book and turn to just little things like that. And so here is me trying to teach you to do something that I'm not doing myself. Sit with them when they come. And you know, ask them if they got time for lunch. They wouldn't even mind coming home for leftovers. If there's laundry in the corner, it's okay. Just you're extending warmth and caring about them. Tell them your name. The second time you see them, say, it's good to see you. Now, if you're like me, that involves going away and actually writing down their name. Because I have the gift of forgetting. And it's gone. When we are invited to love our neighbor as ourself, God is inviting us in this wonderful, wonderful journey. A journey where our circle grows and we get the excitement of getting to know people and caring about people and letting them worm into our hearts so that we care deeply about them. But the other side happens as well. When God says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying, I'm trying to get through to you and I'm having trouble. So if you're friends with them, maybe through them, I can get through to you. And as we love others, we often experience God's love coming to us through them. may God fill you with the joy involved in both loving God and loving your neighbor, tearing down the walls and embracing the world in the name of Jesus. May God fill you with his joy as you do that.
Please turn in your blue hymnals to 307, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? This hymn gives us some more ideas of how we can show love to each other. Please stand to sing verse 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Now, people dearly loved by God and surrounded by people as God's gift to you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Please turn over to 420, Heart with Loving Heart United. We'll sing verse 1 and 3 as our closing.